All right, so what I'm going to do is for the next 35 to 40 minutes, I'm going to be going through a series that we started at the beginning of this month. So as a church, what we do is we get a sense of what God wants us to look at for that particular month or for that season, and we spend time looking at what we sense God's asking us to look at. So we started looking at a series at the beginning of this month called How Do I Find and Follow God's Plan for My Life? How do I find and follow God's plan for my life? And I mentioned at the beginning of this series that at some point or the other, you're going to wander in your life. So I said at some point in our lives, maybe you're walking down the road, you're going to work, a thought would come to your mind, which is, what am I really doing on earth here? Is this all that there is to life? Is life just about waking up in the morning, going to work, going to school, day after day, year after year? Surely there has to be something more than that. I was telling someone a while ago that I remember my 18th birthday as if it was yesterday. I remember how I felt. And at that point, I was like, man, I'm 18. This is like the start of life. I was at uni then. And 10 years passed. Another 10 years passed. And I'm going to stop there so that you're not going to guess how old I am. It's like, how old is Pastor? But what I'm just saying is, years have passed like a flash. So the question now is this to us. Do you want to wake up when you're 80 years old and realize that your life has just gone like a flash? I don't think you want to do that. I've been with people, as a pastor, I've seen quite a lot. Those are our choir singers at the back there. Those are the kids there doing their voice training. So as a pastor, I've been with a lot of people in different circumstances. I've been with people when they've been like super happy, celebrating things. I've been with people who have gone through like really challenging times. And I've been with people who it was time for them to go. And I remember this particular person, and I was with them, and it was obvious that at any point in time, they would check out. And I was talking with them, and that particular conversation had such a big impression on me. So here I was, pastor, talking to someone who, you know, any point in time, they could check out, they could pass on. And we began to talk. And the person began to catalog their life for me. And they said, Pastor B, you know something? I'm cool as I am. And they said, I've done my best to follow God's plan for my life. I've, you know, done all I can in the context of the church, in the context of my family. I've tried to be like a good mom. In the context of my marriage, I've tried my, you know, best. And they looked me straight in the eyes and they said, if it's time for me to go, I'm ready to meet Jesus anytime and I'm good. So Pastor B, I'm good. And it took me back a bit. I was like, my goodness, that someone can look at their lives and say they have done not a perfect job of it, but that they have lived it to the best of their ability as much and as far as they believe God has led them to. All right? So the person passed on with no regrets. And I was now thinking that, man, I'm a pastor here, but can I actually do the same? If the position was switched, would I be able to confidently say, God, I have done all I know to do to the best of my ability. I have lived my life in your will as much as I've known to. So that's the question I'm putting to us this morning, and the question that I've been putting to us, that why should you want to live God's will for your life? What's the big deal? Why should you be bothered at all? At least I ask myself that question. Well, I think you should be bothered because you don't want to get to 80 or 85, then rewind and say, oh my goodness, how I wish I had done this. Do you understand? So for me, in my vocabulary, I don't want to have that phrase, hashtag, how I wish I had done this. Our Instagram person would hashtag that, how I wish I had done this. So the reason I'm saying this is to give context to why we're looking at following God's plan for your life. And for me, I don't want to just come, pick some passages from the Bible, tell us this, this, and that. No, that's not good enough. It has to make a difference in our lives. Because I don't want to waste your time, and I don't want to waste my time. So this is business. No, not business. This is real business. Do you understand? So, don't worry, you guys can smile. That's just like introductions. Like, oh my goodness, on a Sunday morning, Pastor Benson, are you trying to make us sad? No, I'm not trying to make you sad. I'm just trying to give us context. So, the series that we're looking at is how do I find and follow God's plan for my life? And one thing I mentioned was that, look, following God's plan for our life is not difficult at all. God has made it in such a way that whether you're 10 years old, whether you're 11, 12, 13, 14, or whether you're 50 or 60, He's made it in such a way that we can follow His plan effortlessly. But I mentioned that we have a choice in the matter. Now, this is the third installment. If you want to listen to the other ones, the audio is on our website. So I said, what is God's plan for every one of us? We looked at that. The second point I made was that God's plan is not automatic. You still have a choice in the matter. So God hasn't made us like robots. And He says, okay, you must do this, this, and that. He gives us a choice. Now, the third thing I mentioned, just trying to summarize, is I said in this context, I'll categorize God's plan for our lives into two sections. One is what I'll call the general plan of God for our lives and the specific plan of God for our lives. And I said the general plan of God for our life applies to every single one of us. And the specific plan applies to people sometimes who have been called into ministry. So we'll look at that later. So today I'm focusing on the general plan of God for our lives. And I broke that into three parts. We looked at the first part last week. And the first part we looked at last week was knowing God. So I said, one of the main aims that God wants for us in His plan is to know Him. And I went into a lot of detail about knowing God. And the point I was making last week was this. God is a person. So God isn't someone that we come to and all we're doing is saying, God, do this for me. God, answer this prayer. God, why don't you do this? Now, God does all those things for us. God answers our prayers. God takes care of us. But that cannot be the basis of our relationship with God. And I was saying, how about if you had a friend and every time your friend knocked at your door, it was like, who can I use as an example? Doc, you open the door and your friend comes into the house and he doesn't ask, how have you been? How are things in your life? Maybe he says, okay, how are you doing? He enters and he's now like, Doc, man, have you got food? I've got this problem at work. Can you help me solve it, Doc? And every time he's like bombarding you with problems. As a friend, you're empathetic. Like, yeah, I can help you, but that cannot be the basis of the relationship. So the same thing with God. We cannot just bombard God every time and the only thing we're saying is, God, this, 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 and that. So I said, God wants us to know Him. We looked at that in detail. So the second thing I'm looking at today under the general plan of God's life is what I've called living in the community of God. So to give us context, I said the general plan of God's life, we're looking at three things. The first one is knowing God. The second one is living in the community of God. And the third one is preaching the gospel. We'll look at that next week. So I'm focusing on living in the community of believers. Now, what does this mean? I've met people who, you know, really nice Christians, and they tell me, Pastor Benson, I'm part of the body of Christ. I don't have to go to any local church. I can wake up in the morning, switch on YouTube, and follow this church in America for a while. In fact, that's my pastor. Sorry, I'm getting a bit excited here. It happens to me on Sunday mornings. I went to the States once to visit a friend of mine, well, on a holiday, and I was staying with a cousin of mine. I was like, oh, how are you doing? I was like, man, well, you know, Sunday we're going to church, you know, I want an American church, man, one church, you know, all this British churches where we're just speaking calmly. I want a proper American church where they'll be saying, praise the Lord, everybody. That's the kind I want. I said, oh, sorry, her church is online. I said, okay. I said, oh, her church is online, that her pastor is, she mentioned one city. I said, so do you attend physically? Oh, no, she just goes online there and that's it. I said, well, me, I didn't come to America to watch online church, by the way. I am going to a proper. So the context is this. Sometimes people feel that they don't need to belong to a local church like this. They can just go online and that's it. Now, that is fantastic. We can learn a lot that way. I mean, I watch other ministries online as well. But in the context of God's plan, that is not enough. That is not enough. It's not enough. Actually, God says, you can do that, you can learn from other ministries and all that, but it is God's will that you belong to a local church where people know you. And that's what we're looking at today. So, living in God's community, I'll look at a number of points this morning. So, why do we have to live in community? Why do we have to go to a local church? What's the big deal? Why can't we just chill at home? Welcome. Sorry, I won't embarrass you. I was just going to actually announce that. Can we please rise as... well, we'll let you off this morning. Sorry, I'm just being a bit cheeky this morning. So, living in a community, living in the context of the local church, what does that mean? Why should we bother? Why can't we just stay at home? And today is like, man, I'm just going to turn that YouTube dial. Today, my church is in Australia. I'll attend the Australian church for 1 month. Next week, my church is in, give me a name of a country. Germany. Why didn't you? Why can't we do that? We'll look at a number of points this morning. Now, the first is this. God has designed it in such a way that we fulfill purpose in the context of the local church. I'll read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 21 to 26. No, let me read Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9. So Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. God, the first point is that God has designed it in such a way that we fulfill His plan for our lives. We walk in the plans He has for us in the context of the local church. So I'll read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. It says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but you are fellow citizens with God's people and members also of His household. So God begins to say something here, that even though we're part of the body of Christ internationally, anyone that's a Christian is automatically part of the body. But he now says something else. He was talking to the Christians in Ephesus, and he referred to something. He referred to the context of the local church, and he said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, that they're members of his household. So God views the local church as his household. If I read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 21 to 26, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 21 to 26 says, "The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I do not need you.' The head cannot say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor." If you read down this portion of scripture, God is saying something here that, look, you cannot say that you do not need the body of Christ. You cannot say that you do not need the local church. Actually, the local church needs you. So we begin to see here that God's put in context that even though we're part of the body, every local church like this is God's household, is God's family. And he wants us to live life in that context. Now, the second point I'm making this morning is around, okay, why the local church? Why do we have to live in community? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. It says, "Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So the second reason why we need to live in community as God has set it out is that you and I need to be encouraged. I'm telling you. You need to be encouraged. You know, there's sometimes that you're alone at home and you're just lying down, and maybe you've had a really hard time during that period of time. And you turn up in church, or someone calls you. Maybe your friend, and they're like, "Oh, how are you doing?" And you're like, "Man, I don't even feel like doing anything at all. I just want to lie in bed." And they say, "Oh, is that how you're feeling? Oh, don't worry. I felt like that before. A similar thing happened to me." And they encourage you. And you now realize that, oh, hang on. This isn't something that is peculiar just to you. And you're encouraged. I went to like a men's conference yesterday, a pastor friend of mine, and they were talking about, they had like different sections, and they brought in the police, and they were talking about organized crime in Bristol. I was like, is that like a mafia movie? Apparently they are. And they were now saying something interesting. That's not the point I want to make. That you have gangs all over, and not even in Bristol, all over the world. In America, you have all these gangs. You have like all these, the Cribs. You have all these people, different gangs all over. And you're now wondering, why would someone go and join a gang knowing the risks? Obviously, there are a lot of things that the gangs do. Maybe they flash money. They're like, "If you join us, you can get like a nice pair of sneakers. We'll get you, and you know, you can be rich." So those things are the things that probably are the draw. But one of the biggest draws to gangs, and by the way, this is my view and the views of other people. So just to put it out there, I'm not saying this is the one of the biggest draws to gangs, and they said the guys in these gangs, 17, 18, averagely, is when these young boys and girls join gangs, they do so because they want someone to have their back. A lot of them join gangs because the gangs become like their family. Not in a good way. They know that if something happens to me, my gang member will defend me to the death. Although that's not the ideal thing. They know that if anything happens to me, my gang member will defend me to the death. Do you understand? So, God is saying the same thing. He's not saying join a gang, by the way. But it's the same thing where God realizes the value of having people around you that can encourage you. You cannot be a lone ranger. Life doesn't work that way. And God says specifically in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, that we read, he said, look, don't forsake the local church. Don't leave yourself out of what's going on. Why? Because the church is your family. Some people will be like, oh, I've been to churches where they've not been too nice to me. And okay, I apologize. Look for another church where they're nice to you. But don't let that be the excuse that keeps you away. Do you understand? So God knows that you and I need to be encouraged in this last day because of the way the world is and the way he wants us to experience that encouragement is in his household, the local church. So next time you see someone that says, oh, I'm a YouTube church person, just say, brother, sister, that is fantastic, but come to our church. Let's iron that bit out for you. Encourage people to do that. Now, the third thing I'm looking at, so we've looked at the fact that God uses the local church to encourage us. I have like loads of scriptures here. You can take them down. I've got here John chapter 13, verse 34. I've got Romans chapter 4, verse 13. I've got 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. I've got Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 4 to 8. Proverbs 27, 17. So you can take those down if you like, but I don't want to read everything this morning. So, we've looked at a number of things. I said God has designed that we live in the context of his family, the local church. The second thing is we're encouraged in the context of the local church. The third thing is this, which is quite an interesting one. You grow in the context of the local church. That's where your character is developed. What do I mean by that? If you tell me, someone tells me, oh, Pastor B, God has really been dealing with me. Previously, I used to be really impatient. Previously, I used to be so angry, but now I pray to God, and God has really touched me. I'm not an angry person anymore. God has said, you know, he has removed anger from me. God has said he has given me patience. God has said he has given me love. Pastor B, can't you even see the way that I'm talking? I'm talking so calmly. Previously, I'll have been shouting. God has done so much for me, Pastor B. And do you know what God would say to that individual? That is fantastic. Now, let us test how patient you are. That's the next thing. And how does that happen? You come to the local church, and maybe someone who used to say hello to you every time sees you and they ignore you because they're in a hurry. And you say, oh, good morning. And they say, oh, sorry, I'm quite busy. Then we'll begin to see how patient you really are. But do you know the test? What I call super hyper test. In the context of community, that also happens in the context of family as well. I was telling someone that, no, I was watching this YouTube thing came across my YouTube. This video came. And I said, oh, this is quite an interesting video. And I clicked. And do you know what the guy said? The guy said, this is quite funny, actually, by the way. He said, the test that your wife is the person that God has chosen, that God has put you together, is this. Do you know what that test is? It says, if you want to know if this is like your God's will for you, do you know what the test is? He said, the test is that once in a while, she'll be the most annoying person to you. So it says the test is if your wife annoys you to the point that you are super annoyed, then he says, congratulations, you are in God's will. So what am I saying here? In the context of community, God grows us. He helps us to become more patient. He helps us to become more considerate. I was talking, I think there was one time we were in church and I was standing with one of the folks in church here. And someone came as we're talking, and passed a comment to me. It was a really rude comment. And the person who was standing next to me was like, you know, why is this person passing that kind of remark to pastor? And I just said, is that how you feel and all that? Oh, I'm really sorry that you felt that way. And the person left. And the person who was standing next to me said, what, pastor? Why did you let that person talk to you? If it was me, I would have said X, Y, and Z. I would have told them my mind. I mean, people should be appreciated. And in my mind, I said, we need to put you through the school of community so that all those rough edges that you have just displayed now, they can help you to fine-tune them. And what just came back to my mind was, if this was me 20 years ago, I mean, come on. That person will have heard, they will have heard what I really felt. But all those rough edges, God's like dealing with me with that. So what community also does for you is it helps you to grow. It helps you to develop character. I'm telling you. So if you want to grow as a Christian, you want to become more patient, you want to become gentle, you want to be, you know, you want to really become Christ-like, then you need to be part of a local church so that people can annoy you and you can become more. I'm not saying that's the job of the local church, by the way. We don't annoy people in this church, are we, by the way? But so that people can annoy you, take you to the edge of yourself. And it gives you an opportunity to say, okay, maybe there's something in me that I need to look at. Not, that person is rude. Maybe they were rude. No problem, they were rude to me and all that. But maybe it's time for you to look inward and say, okay, what is it in me that is causing me to be so annoyed? And God, can you help me with this? Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like, why should someone be rude to me in the first place? That's them. But why are you responding the way you're responding? Do you need more patience? Do you understand? So, what am I saying this morning? I'm saying that God has designed our Christian walk and His will for us in a manner that we live in a community of the local church so that, one, we realize that we're in the household of God. Two, we are encouraged in the context of the community of God. We pray for one another. And number three, that is where character is developed. Because people will rub against you the wrong way. And it gives you the opportunity to bring those things in your life before God and tell God, man, I'm an angry guy. Help me. True. Or, this is how I am. Help me. And that's the way we grow. Two more things and we'll pray. I'm just going to mention these ones. The fourth thing is 1 Corinthians 10, 24. It says, no one should seek their good, but seek the good of others. So the fourth thing is that you and I can make an eternal difference in the lives of people. There is something that you can contribute to the life of the person who is sitting next to you. It might be an encouraging word, and it's like, man, when I was down, this person encouraged me, and they will never forget you. It might be that there's something that they need at that point in time that you're able to provide. So, in the context of the local church, you and I have the opportunity to make a difference in the lives of other people around us. We do. And the last point that I'm going to look at is Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 30. It says, how could one man chase 8,000 or two put 10,000 to flight? So the final and the fifth point I'm making this morning is this. There is strength in us coming together. There are things that maybe if you were dealing with it by yourself, God will help you. You can go so far. But when other people come alongside you, it multiplies strength. Do you understand? It multiplies strength. So I'm going to stop there this morning. And we're looking at, how do I find and follow God's will for my life? And today I've said, look, God has made it so easy. God is saying, look, as you commit to staying and being part of a local church, a number of things will happen to you. You'll be encouraged. You will be automatically walking in the context of God's will for your life. You will grow. People will rub you the wrong way, but it will develop your character. I also said that, look, there is strength when we come together. Then you have the opportunity to make a real difference in the life of another individual. Amen. This morning, I'm just going to ask that we rise and we pray. So, this morning, the prayer we want to pray is that, look, God, help me to live in your will. Help me to live in your will. That's a prayer that I'm going to ask this morning, that we pray. It's a personal prayer. So, I've spoken this morning, I've said, look, these are the benefits. But the truth of the matter is that God wants you more than anything to live in the context of will. So it's not you saying, what is God's will for my life? God is saying, look, live in the context of the local church. Our Father and our King, thank you for the gift of the local church. Let's just lift up our voices this morning and just pray. It's a personal prayer. Father, we just want to thank you. Thank you for the local church. Thank you for my brothers and my sisters. Thank you that when we are down, we have a place that we can be encouraged. Father, thank you that you care for us, that you have called us members of your household. Father, we give you praise. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Father, I pray. Lord, I'm asking this morning that for everyone that is here that might be hurting, everyone that needs encouragement. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it says that you're the God of all comforts. Lord, I'm asking for comfort for everyone that is here in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask for your comfort. Father, we ask for your strength this morning. Let us experience your strength. Let us experience your strength. Let us experience your strength in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you praise. My Father, my King, I thank you for the simplicity of your word. Father, your word will not return back to you void, but it will accomplish that for which you have sent it. Lord, I'm asking that let us experience the context of the local church. For anyone who needs encouragement this morning, Father, I'm asking that you will encourage them. Father, for anyone that needs strength this morning, I'm asking that you will strengthen them. Lord, for anyone that needs healing, Lord, let your healing go forth in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you praise and we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.